Good afternoon. This is Shirley Tabb welcoming everybody to Social Work Today. And before we get started with our topic today, I just want to take a moment to offer condolences to all of the families who lost loved ones in the Orlando, Florida shooting. That was just a terrible tragedy, and my heart goes out to everyone. My listeners' hearts go out, and this is just really, really sad, and certainly a time for prayer and reflection on what this country means in terms of freedoms, all kinds of freedoms to be who we are, who we want to be, and just to accept and love each other as we are. So I just said this is a very sad day. And today my topic is grieving the loss of our pets. And you know, our pets are from those of us who have pets and those of us who have pets that we love. Hopefully nobody has pets that they don't love, because if you don't love them, they are not pets. But hopefully we will have some people in the audience who can certainly identify with the loss of a pet. That hopefully people can certainly identify with how important pets are to us in terms of emotional support. Now, one of mine, whose name is Roxy, I named her after my mother shortly after my mother died, and that's how I keep the memory of my mom alive. And she was in here a little while ago, really, really trying to get under my skin. And but there have been times when I've been on the air doing my show, and she would start barking, and I would just tell people, well, that's one of my assistants. So if you hear Roxy in the background, she's in here just kind of putting in her two cents in this conversation. I have the pleasure of having one of my dear friends and colleagues on the line with us who will be co-hosting the show with me today. Her name is Shirley. Also, her name is Shirley Myers. And Shirley, I'll let you tell you more about her, but she is a premier licensed independent clinical social worker here in the Washington, D.C. metro area, and she is very well versed and schooled in clinical matters. So I was talking with Shirley this morning and telling her that I had had a very rough week because my family and I had to put down one of two of our English bulldogs. His name was Vito, and I am dedicating today's show to Vito. We had him about 7 years, and when we first bought him, we got him from a breeder. We noticed after a month or so that his right paw was buckling in, and we took him to different vets and found out that there was some disability there in terms of deformation. And the breeder gave us another dog and another puppy and told us that we could put Vito down. But after we got the other puppy, who was also a male species, and he got more vitality, and we could not justify putting him down because he was so full of life. But after a couple of years, 3 years or so, he started to decline, and it just really, really started to get bad over the last 3 years. And last week, he had something like cellulitis, and his right front paw just swole up just enormous. And then the next day, it was even going into his back paw. So we had to make the decision. We took him, of course, to a veterinarian who determined that it was best in the dog's interest and quality of life that we let him go and that he be put to rest. But that has really been grieving me and haunting me. And I think what grieves me so is the fact that I did not get to say goodbye. And this is something certainly that grieves everybody probably who wished to have been there when a loved one, human or not, transitioned. I was not there when my mother transitioned. I had been with her all night, but I missed her transition. I was not even in the state when my father transitioned. So, and I was not there when my brother transitioned, though I was in town. So anyway, I'm going to let Shirley Myers talk to you, tell you about her background, and speak to how we grieve, how we love, and get emotionally attached to our pets because of what they bring in our lives. So, Shirley, you have it.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, Shirley.
Well, I'm glad to be on your show. Just
wanted
to share with you that during my clinical practice, I have work with consumers who have come to the clinic and they grieve the loss of a pet. Now, initially, there's always the saying that you start where the client is. I have always been so accustomed to dealing with clients who talk about their emotional problems, but it's about relationship with other individuals, other humans.
Right.
It was not until that my great-granddaughter lost her mother, and she said that she wanted an animal, a dog. And I couldn't identify. So she said, well, I love animals. I saw the change in mood swings and whatnot after loss of her mother.
Yes.
So she now has a dog. But one thing we have to do, we have to listen to what individuals have to say when they lose an animal. Many of them don't have anyone to love but that animal.
Right.
And animals give unconditional love.
Don't they?
And I also have done a lot of work in the waiver program, and I've had people who, of course, who are disabled, and they share with me that a dog can sense when they are not feeling good, they're feeling down.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be cognizant of the fact we have to start where the client is and listen to what they have to say about the relationship with their animals. I've seen clients in my practice that had expressed what will they do the loss of since they have lost their animal.
Mm-hmm.
But I share with them, just like, you know, any human, we come here, we have to leave one day.
Right.
And
yes.
So just as we go through the stages of grief and loss, this is what I also do with my clients, many of whom have gone, moved on, what other animals. However, others would say, I don't think I can take getting another animal or pet because it would upset me if I lost that child. But I thought I would like to speak about how animals can play a very vital role in one's life.
Oh, yeah.
And I can relate definitely with my granddaughter suffering from a mood disorder after she lost her mother.
Yeah.
Grades went down, did not really want to interact or socialize with peers because, you know, peer pressure can be very difficult, challenging. And once I decided to get her this dog, the grades went up. But the concern that I do have, she constantly speaks about the fact, what if something should happen to my dog?
Yeah.
You know, I know he's not here forever.
Yeah.
And I share with her sunrise, sunset.
Yeah.
Just like humans, sunrise, they're brought into the world.
Yeah.
There's going to be a day, and hopefully is not to the point that an accident occurred,
yes,
that the dog or animal loses. It could be a cat. So I just don't want to refer to dogs or any
right
type of
right
animal.
Right.
That just like you give birth to a newborn, you have birth of animals.
Yes.
Sunrise, sunset. So
mm-hmm
I have gone over with her the stages of death and dying to come to terms,
mm-hmm,
and she clearly understands. But I just think it's important that many people would say, I don't want to be bothered with an animal. But I have found that many animals, even when I was working at Washington Hospital Center, mm-hmm, a long years ago, I could not understand why the doctor, psychiatrist, would bring his pet on the unit. Now I certainly do.
Now you do. Mm-hmm.
It brought humor. It brought joy. I saw people, their whole mood had changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I myself now can identify, since I have a pet in the home.
Yes.
And matter of fact, I want two now. I have one Yorkshire Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
But that pet brings a lot of joy into my life as well as my granddaughter. But what I do when people say they've lost their pets, my clients,
yes,
I say to them, we have to grieve through the 8 stages of grief and loss,
yes,
as we do with human beings.
Yes.
And that's where we are. They will say, that dog gave me so much love when I was feeling down, that dog, because since that, and today research have shown, for example, without a doubt, children who suffer with seizures,
mm-hmm,
there was one case where the seizures had decreased because of that dog was in that child's life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Just
it's amazing.
And I certainly do agree with you because
mm-hmm
I have had Roxy for 11 years now, and as your granddaughter is telling you,
mm-hmm,
I have prayed to God that Roxy will go before me,
mm-hmm,
because I am worried and concerned about what will happen to her should I precede her in death.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm
then, because I would want her to be with someone who is going to love and cherish her and take care of her for the rest of her life.
Of course.
And
of
I course don't want her with somebody who's going to treat her like a dog. I don't treat her like a dog. I treat
mm-hmm
her like a member of my family. And I, too, you have a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yes, I do.
I went out and bought me a Yorkshire Terrier for my birthday.
Yes.
My birthday was in May. I went out and got a Yorkie, and now she is also bringing joy into my life because I'm watching her now. When I got her, she weighed a little over 2 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Now she's about 3 pounds. But
mm-hmm
so, as you know, so active and just into everything. But I like to watch her. I like to see her energy, boundless energy. And I like seeing her colors change because she will eventually get to be either a blonde-like color or a
oh
platinum-like and mixed with brown and black.
Okay.
And so now I'm seeing on her little legs, there's the hair is starting to change, and up at the top of her head is starting to change. So I'm
uh-huh
saying, okay, she's finally starting to look like a Yorkie. So
mm-hmm
that's exciting for me to see her come of a get to be a year old and then come into her own. So all of that is just very emotionally stimulating and strengthening for me, especially in the wake of the loss of Vito.
Yes. I just think that your family and, of course, yourself, well, it's a process you have to go through. You're going to grieve the loss. You will never forget Vito, but you do have to move forward.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's going to take time, just like if you're grieving the loss of a human being.
Yeah.
But a lot of individuals, for example, I have a family member. She has a Maltese. Now, these dogs, one do their research, these dogs are dogs of royalty.
Yeah.
And she quite didn't understand why my dog is so outgoing. Mm-hmm. And the comment made was that he's very aggressive. Well, no, he's not aggressive. Mm-hmm. I advised her to read up about Yorkshire Terriers.
Yes.
They're explorers.
Yes, they are.
These dogs are tiny, but it's written that these dogs are so bold, they would go up against a big dog, and
we have to
be careful.
Yes,
okay?
They will.
These dogs are all over the place. They have so much vitality much energy. Every dog is different, and this is what I explained to her. We had to take care of some business, and we had taken the dog back to his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just interesting to see how the father went over in the corner, but the mother apparently knew her child.
Really?
She knew her child.
Wow.
And she basically appeared to be very comforting to her child, and she's expecting a kid, you know. But in terms of the color, when we named our dog Princeton Da Vinci, and my granddaughter, sometimes she become annoyed. She said, why don't you just say Princeton? I said to her, I just love the sound of Da Vinci.
I'd like that too.
He hops all over the place. He runs all up and down the stairs. When you tell him to go home, his kennel, we tell him, go home.
Yeah.
He knows that he doesn't want to go into that kennel. So what he does, he manages to work his way upstairs. Now, he's only 6 months.
Yeah.
And these dogs are highly intelligent.
Oh, yes, they are.
Highly intelligent. And he also is changing colors.
Oh, okay.
When we got him, he was his coat pretty black.
Right.
A pretty brown.
Right.
Now, he only has the face of his mother, which is brown, but the rest of his body is gray. It's graying in with the mixed in black.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I can identify in terms of your family and your emotions. Years ago, I used to say, oh, my goodness, this client, I can't believe she's crying over a dog.
I know.
But now
I wonder if
something happened to our dog, I know my granddaughter won't take it as well.
No.
And it would hurt me, of course. But taking it a step further, we had her godfather had a dog, and he passed away. And when he passed away, for a while, she wouldn't say anything to her godfather. And he's been really the best godfather anyone would want to have.
Yes.
And she finally came to me. She said, I can't talk to him right now because he had cat litter. And I believe the death of Ziggy was due to the fact he ate the cat litter.
Oh.
So when it comes to pets and children, we have to be very mindful of their emotions and rest assured to ensure that the dogs are not eating what they should. They're not supposed to be eating cat litter, and we believe that's what happened to them.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that definitely could have, it was not good for him for sure.
Uh-huh. But But the other issue is she was hurt when a friend of ours, they had purchased two Yorkshire Terriers. These dogs are quick. You have to keep them on a leash.
You sure do.
The dog ran out of the car and resulted in death. A car hit the dog.
Oh, no.
She got very emotional.
Oh.
And the first thing she was saying is that that was Princeton's sister.
Oh.
And that really bother her. What I am trying to get a hold of, grasp of, people do allow their dogs to sleep in the bed with them. I still have an issue with that.
Well, I don't have an issue with that because Roxy has slept with me for probably 9 years. But she has gotten older now, she will sometimes, because of their ancestral history coming from wolves and liking to be in caves, she will sleep under the bed now for that cave-like effect, I guess. But now I noticed last night she jumped up on the bed. Now, of course, Roxy is strictly a house dog. She's trained to go on the pad in the house.
Oh, great.
So she does not walk outside, because if she was going outside every day, I would need to bathe her every night before got in bed with me. But since she is a house dog, then I don't have a problem with it. But anytime, and I'm afraid to have her out too much, because I'm afraid that she will come in contact with something that another cat or dog
or something. Yes.
Exactly. So I just kind of keep her in the home, and then she has a pink stroller. And people can't understand. I remember one day I was in the garage, and I got on the elevator, and I had Roxy in her pink stroller. So we went downstairs, and we were in the garage, and a guy came by, and he said, he did a double take, and he looked at her in the stroller. He looked back at me. He said, the dog is in a stroller? I said, yes. So he turned and walked a few more steps. He turned back and looked at me. He said, why? And the reason I use a stroller, the reason I got the stroller is because I live in an apartment community, and I want to show respect to other people, because not everybody loves dogs. Some people are terrified of dogs.
That's
so
right.
So no matter how small they are afraid of dogs. So I want to have Roxy either carrying her in my arms or have her in her stroller, because I don't want someone to get terrified and kick her and hurt her or something. So
yeah.
I try to be on my guard, and so I know if I have her in a stroller, nobody has any business doing anything to her because the stroller zips up and she is contained within the stroller. And of course, she's a mix between the Shih Tzu and the poodle, so, and she is very mild-mannered, very mild-mannered. Mm-hmm. But I'm noticing something since I have brought Minnie in, and I named the Yorkie Minnie because she's so small. But Minnie came in, and for the first few days, Roxy was afraid of her because I guess she was so tiny, she really didn't know what she was. But now they play together, and I've noticed some sibling rivalry on the part of Roxy, because she'll get to barking. If I have Minnie up in my lap, she'll go to barking, so I'll have to put Minnie down, and then they start playing with each other, roughhousing and stuff. But she was never an aggressive kind of or assertive dog, but Minnie is being good for her in that way. And I guess in a way, Roxy is grieving the loss of just her total dependence on me and my total devotion to her. Now she has to share that. And she's showing in her own little way how she is accepting the fact that, oh, I'm no longer the queen of the throne here.
Exactly.
I'm sharing this now.
But don't we see that in regular siblings, children?
Oh, of course.
Children?
Oh, yes. Of course.
There's been questions centered around, does dogs have emotions? Yes, they do have emotions.
Oh, yes, they do. Of course they have emotions. And that's why I see some people out with their dogs, and if it's a real hot day, the dog's tongue is wagging out, and I just say to myself, of course, you can't say anything to these people if you don't want to get shot or something, but I just pray to myself and say, God, please give this animal some relief, some comfort. How can somebody be so callous and so heartless that they will walk a dog in the hot sun and not carry some water so they can water that dog? Because when I did let Roxy go out, and I would carry a little cup, even if it was in my car, so if she wanted water, she could get some water.
Of course.
But some people
just like
don't
you see
know.
Neglect with children, family.
Yeah, oh, Lord.
I question,
and
why do people have animals? Why
exactly.
do they have
our
animals?
Children, yes, yes. Not
I don't
everybody
know why
should
they have
them.
Them. When I went to pick up our dog today, the sitter was saying we were taking care of a Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
And Zaniya, I mean, it really was good for her because she was basically working between two dogs. The Yorkshire is very bold, and the Maltese is 21 years of age, so we had to put him on a sofa.
Yeah.
When this Yorkshire came here as an infant, the Maltese is afraid of the Yorkshire.
The
Terrier.
Little Yorkie, yes.
Right, and it was such a pretty sight to look at how the Yorkie was on the floor trying to get to the Maltese who was on the sofa. And
that's
just
what
looking.
Many do.
Well, understanding the temperament between the Maltese and the Yorkie.
Yeah.
Well, my granddaughter used to keep the Maltese because my other granddaughter is in college.
Yeah.
But when she would come and get the dog, I saw the change in my granddaughter's mood, which is the reason I went to get the Yorkie. But the sitter shared with me today some disturbing news that since we no longer is caring for the Maltese because the family member worked, the college student, which is my granddaughter, is busy
right.
working,
right.
that Maltese is locked up in the apartment by himself.
Oh.
And she said she noticed that he appears to be, it's possible, this dog could be suffering from depression.
That's what I was going to say. The dog is suffering from depression and probably... the dog is withdrawn, some separation anxiety there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so used to being over here
right.
with my granddaughter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Getting the love and the attention, even though she would get home from school about 2 o'clock. That's still about 4 hours. I have the television on. But these dogs looked forward to when she came through the door. They were, you know, waiting for attention.
Exactly.
And so I'm contemplating now to go and get the dog. To
go and get the Maltese.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's hard to see a dog where you envision that the dog is suffering. I mean, that is just, that's a hard pill to swallow. Shirley, let me just give out the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
This is so refreshing talking to somebody like you who understands the emotional support piece of having animals and the loss and the grief process. Let me give the phone number out in case somebody in the audience wants to call in and share with us. You can call in toll-free to the radio station bbsradio.com at 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471, toll free. You can call in and speak with my guest, Shirley Myers, today, or if you want to dial direct, you can call 1-323-744-4871, or if you want to listen on your radio, on your computer, just go to BBS, as in boy, boy, bbsradio.com/social work today. And that will take you to BBS Radio and go to Channel 2, and you will see that the Social Work Today show is on at this time. Or if you just want to listen on your radio, on your telephone, you can call 1-605-475-1600. 1-605-475-1600. And you can just listen in. And this show will be archived. If you want to listen to it when it's over, you can go back and listen, or you can, it will be up. You can go at any time. And feel free to send friends and family to the show to the archives so they can get this information as well. So go on, Shirley. So you are thinking about going and getting the Maltese, your grand dog.
Yes, I'm thinking about doing that. But I tell you, it's amazing how we can learn as humans looking at the behavior of dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm just thinking about, I see so many children, I see so many teens are angry. They're reaching out for help. I have seen, whereas I recommend, try getting them a pet, but give them the responsibility, something for them to do. Thus far, it's been positive. It's been very, very positive. I be upstairs sometimes, and I be listening to my granddaughter. She'll tell Princeton, go sit down, Princeton. Good dog, Princeton. Go sit down. And I said, well, wow, he's so obedient. I said, so when I give you directives, who do you think you can learn it from? Who do you think you can learn from when this dog is so obedient?
Obedient, exactly.
When we talk about the different types of mood swings with our children, the animals play a very important role in all of that. When we talk about disabled population, we have people who do not have family our members to give them love and support.
Right.
And who do
right.
they turn to? They turn to an animal to
the
give
pet.
Them
yes.
unconditional love.
Exactly. And, you know, there was a time, and you probably know this better than me from your therapy work, there was a time when girls, young teenagers, would get pregnant because they were from broken families. They felt that nobody loved them, and they wanted to have a baby because they wanted someone
That's
to love
right.
them. So it would be a whole lot easier to get them pets and support them with the pet and let them learn how to nurture and learn how to give directives and teaching another living thing rather than bringing a human being into the world where it gets a lot more complex.
Shirley, I'm so glad you brought that up, if I may. I was sharing with my granddaughter when she was sharing. The teenage pregnancy is on the rise. That's another subject of discussion. But when she had the other dog, I would hear her tell Molly, go sit down. And Princeton, stop jumping on the bed. Yeah. It was going back and forth. So I went into her room. I said, now, these are loving animals, but think about if these were actual babies.
Yes.
You could not do that. She said to me, I surely understand because it's a lot of work trying to get them to obey.
Yes.
So these dogs have taught her a lesson. If you get if you end up with a baby,
this
is what happened because the peer pressure is so phenomenal. I met a young lady in this. It was at a storage company, and I went to speak to her. I said, "Oh, your baby's pretty." I didn't see any response. I said, "Well, are you okay?" She said, "I don't want the baby."
Oh my God!
And she said, "My mom is not giving me support because if she said if I." She become impregnated, she would not support me with the baby.
Yeah.
So that had been on my mind. And every time my granddaughter, she would say, oh, they won't obey me, they won't do this and that. And she says it with love. But I said, but look at this. You can send them to their kennel. You can tell them
That's
go
right.
home.
That's
but you
right.
can't do that with a baby.
No, it's a lot
and
more
so,
complicated.
Look at the lessons she has learned from having animals in my home.
Exactly, exactly. That's better than when they would give these young girls the baby doll that cried and peed and all this.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And would make them go around all day with this child. And some of those girls said, oh, no, if having a baby is like this, I don't want any part of it. But they just, a lot of them just look at the cute side of it. Oh, I'll have something cute and cuddly to hold on to. But when he's crying, the baby's crying, the baby has colic. They don't understand that the work that goes into it and all of that, but having the little pets, that mm-hmm. gives them an idea. Oh, my, if a baby is like this, then I've got to try to get the baby to daycare, but I can put the dog
That's
in
right.
his kennel. Or,
That's
and
right.
somebody can watch him till I get home from work and this kind of thing. Or nowadays, I bought a system last week called mm-hmm. the Canary system. I was in Verizon. Mm-hmm. And I bought it, so I will be setting this system up. It's like a nanny cam, so I call
yes.
it a doggy cam. And from work, I can take my iPhone or my Android phone and
yes.
see everything that Minnie and Roxy are doing here in my apartment.
Oh, great.
So, but I couldn't leave a baby here and let
and
say, well, I'm going to watch my baby from work because I got this camera. But I can do that with Roxy and Minnie. So I think pets would be an excellent. I think we should use it more with these teenagers, boys
well,
and girls.
I know for sure. We're in the process of trying to set up a clinic. I'm definitely going to use that. In my opinion, would be therapeutically
yes.
correct.
Yes.
A dog can teach some of our angry young people, our adults, how how to be kind, how to be positive. So it's just basically about emotions. How do we get in touch with our emotions? I think it's so disconcerting when so many animals are being abused, and when animals are being abused. Those individuals probably have a history of abuse. They're angry, and they're taking it out on animals.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, that is a no-no in my book.
Yeah, that's just, mm-hmm. and it's just because poor animals and some of the commercials that you see from the ASPA, I join because those commercials are just so sad. You see the sadness in the poor little animal's eyes. And for somebody who could do that to living things that are so helpless, you talk about tearing at our heartstrings to see that, but I understand the message behind those ads. That happens, and we must donate to help these organizations, help these animals, and there are good people out there who adopt these rescue animals, and God bless them that there are people out there.
I agree, Shirley. I'm to the point now. I just figure I'm going to have to move, and I guess I'm going to have to start an animal farm.
Yeah,
my granddaughter is asking for more and more dogs.
Exactly. If I had a house as opposed to an apartment, mm-hmm. I would foster animals. I would be a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then as people adopted them, they could come get them because I know there are only so many I could have.
That's
but
right.
I would certainly foster and give them all the love and the support. And I just believe that there is a special place in heaven for people who love animals and anything or anybody who
right.
is unable to fend for themselves.
I agree, Shirley. But, you know, I just wanted to go back a minute when we had talked about the young girls and, you know, finding sometimes attention-seeking behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
The dysfunctionality of family, why they act out. And, you know, and then we look at how we look at our animals who can provide unconditional love.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment that. You know, when we talked about the pregnancy and whatnot, one thing about the law of nature, the pleasure principle, whether it's an animal or human beings, we have to find a middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I understand, I saw a sign the other day, and I'm trying to lead up to what my point here, and I'm trying to get a clear understanding of what is meant by it is,
yeah.
If you're new to animal, it saves lives. I guess that we have an overpopulation of animals.
Oh,
it may result in abuse and whatnot. Now,
mm-hmm.
my little Yorkshire Terrier jumps all over the place.
Mine, too.
He's got a behavior problem that he's ADHD. He's just a happy-go-lucky fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And my granddaughter kept saying, don't do that, Granny. Don't do that. And she opened my eyes, and she said, as long as he has a home with us, he's fine. No matter how much he jump all over the place.
Right.
Why would you neuter him when would we? That's God's creation. Do would we neuter? She said this, and she's only 16. She said, would we do that to someone else? Would we do that to a male? Well, I get to have vasectomies and whatnot. But to be honest, in my opinion, I agree with her. I cannot interfere with God's nature of law.
Well, now, in regard to that, Shirley, when I took Minnie for her first shot to the Humane Society for her shot, and they give they have some very, very reasonable reasonable fees for their vaccinations and all that. So I asked them when should I think about having her spayed.
Right.
And so they said, well, I think they said 4 or 6 months. And they said because it was if they were not going to be breeding or procreating, that it was healthier for them to undergo the surgery because the males were less aggressive, they had fewer health problems, and so did the females. And I had never heard that before. I had never, of course, because with Roxy, I was so parental, I guess, that I didn't want her to mate with another dog. I said, I don't want any dog doing that to Roxy. So she went through a couple of seasons around here and with the bleeding and all.
Yes.
So I took her on and got her hysterectomy, and I stayed home from work 2 or 3 days with her. Petco was wonderful, and there were no complications with the surgery. And now, even now, though, I can tell when she might have a little heat go into a little bit of something. But for the most part, I have had no problems with her. And as a matter of fact, the dog that we just put down, that dog, we had that dog for 7 years. I'm now believing that if my children had gone on and had him neutered, then maybe his health and disposition would have been better.
Okay.
Now that's what the veterinarian told me. He said that they are healthier and it wards off different diseases.
Isn't that interesting?
So you might want to.
So we have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn about
exactly.
That.
Exactly. About dogs, exactly. Mm-hmm. Since now they are in your life. And it's interesting that you talked about how you used to could not understand. You would say, well, how can people get so emotional about a dog? When I learned that they had put Vito to sleep. And I was so upset, and Shirley, I called my sister, and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of those people who professes not to be a dog person.
Yes.
But I know she is sensitive and certainly sensitive to anything that I'm going through.
Of course.
So I called her, and I told her what had happened, and she talked to me. And she just listened, and it really made me feel better because I told her I was calling from work, and I said, these people are not dog people. They will laugh at me. They don't understand because I've seen them do that with other people who have lost their pets, and they have been very upset, and I didn't want to go through that because I didn't know what my reaction might be if somebody did that to me that day because I was just literally hurting. That I was in so much pain, mainly because I was not there to hug his neck and say, bye, Vito, rest well, my baby, everything's going to be okay now. I didn't get to see him. I will never, ever see him again. And that's a long time, Shirley.
Well, you had a bond with that dog.
I did.
You had a bond with that dog. The problem with me, I'm just concerned if something should happen to our dog, what my granddaughter will go through.
Oh,
because
she will
right
go
now,
through. But you are conditioning her. You are conditioning her, and
yeah.
I think, Shirley, in terms of how we socialize our children around death and dying needs to be improved a whole lot.
Well, we do.
We do, because a lot of people don't let younger children go to funerals. Now, certainly, that's a parent's prerogative to decide how old the child should be, but I think the sooner you start talking to children about death and dying, the better off they'll be.
The better it
because,
is.
Because, you know, when they have a child dies at school in a class, and they send counselors out to talk to the children. Well, all of that's well and good, but why do you wait for something like that to happen? You should be working with these children all along about, well, you know, this is going to happen or this can happen. And it's like one day I was with my granddaughter, who's the same, who is just a few weeks older than your granddaughter.
Yes.
And we were riding one day, and I think at that time she may have been about 13. She may have been 14, 13 or 14. And we were just having a discussion because she's close to her father and she's a daddy's girl. So I said to her, I said, Kevlin, what is the most the fun thing you've ever done with your daddy? And she thought, and then she said, well, you know, Granny, I really can't say because there will be more. And surely I could not bring myself to say, maybe not, my dear.
Oh, wow.
But she, because she, it's like me and probably you. When I was 12 and 13, certainly 8, 9, 10, with both of my parents alive or in the same home, surely I never envisioned that the people wouldn't be here with me.
That's
right. Because nobody was preparing me for that.
Well, and it's interesting because my family, well, I have an aunt, she's deceased now. I always talk about death. I said, because we're not here forever.
No.
And she will become highly upset. Now, Shirley, my cousin, I lost my cousin about 6 months ago, but the children were well prepared. And these kids are about, what, 7, 8 years of age.
Oh,
it was interesting because she passed away in Richmond, Virginia. And, I mean, to be honest, they went up to the casket, was fixing her hair, playing with her arms.
The kids?
You know, they were not afraid. But
somebody
I became concerned because I didn't want them to, I know the casket may be heavy, but I was concerned that something may come off or something may happen.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Look at that. Children that young
were not
afraid to touch their grandmother. They were fixing her hair, making sure her little dress was in order, you know, and she's lying in the casket. It was nothing for them to do that. And I think this is what we have to do. We have to prepare family members that day is going to come.
Oh, yes.
And that
it is
even for
time.
Animals that we
even, exactly.
cannot, we have no control over.
Exactly. And somebody said that, when kids have, we can start even when kids have that first goldfish in the little bowl. You can start teaching then. Now, you know, if you give your fish too much food or the water's too warm, it will die. And just as this fish will die, one day I'm going to die. One day you will die. And then kids will not be so afraid of death, afraid to go to funerals. And some of the people I know who have master's degrees and supposed to be social workers that I have worked with, one woman in particular, she will not go to funerals. She does not even want you to put out. I have gone to some of the deaf cafes meetings where you go and you meet at somewhere like a Bus Boys and Poets or a coffee house, and you have coffee and Danish maybe, and you just talk about whatever is on your mind that's related to death and dying. I brought a flyer back and put it on my desk. Oh, get that off your desk. Get that off your desk. I said, do you think that's going to keep death away?
Thank you.
I could believe somebody so well educated. But that's because she has not had a full education in terms of death and dying. She's just been educated in social work on the surface. She never must have come through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's teaching.
Exactly. You know, but I guess sometimes people are in denial, just like my aunt was in denial.
Yes.
You know, she just didn't want to accept the fact that she was dying.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why I commented earlier, sunrise, sunset.
Yes.
That applies to animals just like it applies to individuals.
Oh, yes, of course it does. And the sooner we can embrace this concept of loss, then it will not be so debilitating. And we need to enjoy every day as if it were the last, because one day it will be the last.
Well, you that's a good concept. That's a good point, Shirley. I had a pastor tell me one day, don't complain, stop complaining. And for a while, I couldn't figure out what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But when I look at children as well as adults who are hospitalized, who would love to trade places with me.
Oh, yeah.
And I look and hear people say, oh, I can't stand this rain. I can't stand this snow. Thank God you can live to see this day.
You can see it.
You're not blind. You're not visually impaired.
Exactly.
You can see it.
Exactly. And you're not somewhere confined to your hospice bed where you can't even appreciate. These are forces of nature that God has sent forth, and we should embrace this, because one day we will not be able to enjoy these kind of things. And that's like I have been so grief-stricken because I did not get to say bye to my dog.
Right.
But this morning I got up and I sent a couple of tweets out, tweeting, telling people that I was just miserable and that I was going to have a therapist on today, and please listen to the show if you want to call in, blah, blah, blah. And then I tweeted and I read some tweets, and then, because I hadn't listened to any news, and then I started stumbling up on tweets about this horrible mass shooting, the worst we've ever had in the history of this country, where somebody went in to a gay, lesbian, transsexual, bisexual nightclub and just went to shooting. I think he killed 50 people and wounded about 6. Horrible. Innocent people, not by bothering anybody. They went out to celebrate life as they like to celebrate, just doing what they wanted to do, being themselves, not bothering anybody. And some hate monger, and while my heart also goes out to everybody's families who got maimed or got killed, my heart also goes out to his mother, because she also tweeted and apologized and said, I don't know what led my son to do this, and I'll never find out because he's dead. Because I think the police killed him.
And Shirley, she has to live with this for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and people will hold her responsible. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. So we have to lift her up as well. And Shirley, I think we may have about 1 minute before the engineer will come on and tell us to say bye.
Well, Shirley, I just want to say this to you. You are a spiritual person.
Thank you,
I believe you are, but have an intimate relationship with God, a prayer with God, to say goodbye to Beto, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Because he know your inner heart, your inner emotion.
I know. Okay. I know, Shirley. I know. And I want to thank you for being on the show. Okay, and I'll have you on again real soon, Shirley.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay, talk to you later, Shirley.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.